The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Psalm 119, verse 165. While you're turning there, getting ready, Duke University, they did a study on peace of mind. Factors found to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability are, number one, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Not living in the past. This is number two. Unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. Number three, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Number four, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Number five, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Number six, cultivate the old-fashioned virtues, love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Number seven, do not expect too much of yourself. When there's too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you have set, feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. I dealt with that one pretty young when I realized that I probably wasn't tall enough to be a professional basketball player. So that was a good one. Number eight, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest in any test for measuring happiness. Now, I thought that was a pretty helpful list that we got from Duke University, but one of the things that I found that was really interesting was the popularity of this article and this study that was done. Meaning what? People in our world are seeking peace of mind. We want peace. We're constantly at war. If we're not constantly at war with somebody, we're constantly at war with ourselves. Constantly at war with our neighbor. You don't think that we're constantly at war with our neighbor? Have you ever been to Costco when it's busy? The mall during Christmas? I-25 Monday through Friday between 8 to 10? Man, I tell you what, family, peace of mind is something that we're needing. Peace of mind is something that people are seeking. Now, here's the thing. Over the years, peace of mind or peace has become one of those things that has become relative. Why? Because it's hard to come by. And when we actually get some peace of mind, we use those words. Some peace of mind. A little peace of mind. We never just say, I have peace. That's how rare it is these days where people just say that. That's part of our vocabulary now. I got some peace today. I feel a little peace today. I'm at relative peace today. No, it's just not at peace or at peace or not at peace. There's so much unrest in our culture today because there's so much suspicion, because there's so much lying, and there's so much deceit. We don't even know who's telling the truth anymore. And what's getting hard are those trustworthy infomercials that come on late at night when I'm trying to watch TV and fall asleep. You know, and they promise these things, hey, take this little pill. And the next day when you wake up, you are going to be the most beautiful person in the world. And then the first thing we go through think is that true? Is that possible? Well, scientific research and our studies and the doctors that have been involved in all this stuff, we've got seven doctors on staff that have been experts in the world of plastic surgery, and they've done this, and they show pictures and all this stuff, and it's like, is that true? Then we take it, didn't work, and now what? So much suspicion, so much lying, so much deceit. Even church leaders today can't be trusted. Wow. For real, say? Yeah, have you seen the news lately? Even church leaders today can't be trusted. We just don't know anymore. Who are we supposed to listen to? Who are we supposed to trust? Do we listen to our government? Well, if we do, which party do we listen to? Do we listen to the smart people on the Discovery Channel and the History Channel who have been shown over the years to not be telling the whole truth? Who's telling the truth, Shane? I'm starting to panic, man. I don't know who I'm supposed to believe. Who am I supposed to stand on? You know, every once in a while, I go on TikTok and I watch these people on TikTok. I'm not sure. Even the people that are talking about God, I'm not even sure of. There's mixed messages that we're seeing, even from the quote-unquote religious leaders that we see on social media. You know, like I said, one of the things that's really bizarre to me sometimes as I'm checking and going through the social media outreach that we're doing, and like I said, I go through, and then, you know, I got a word of God that I want to give to you, and they start to share scriptures, and here's this beautiful lady with a filter on, barely dressed, showing and revealing a little bit too much, reading scripture. And you watch this, and you go, there's something wrong with this picture. Now, I'm glad I'm getting the word of God, but there's something wrong with this picture. We just don't know. Things are just weird. Things are just bizarre. Who am I supposed to trust? Who is telling the truth? Even when I go to church, I get the sense that the church seems to care more about their growth and their success than that I can't trust that they're actually telling me what I need to know. I mean, it's like I go to, you know, it's like one of my cousins, like, Shane, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. And, you know, you tell me that there's this place called hell. There's this awful place that, you know, if we don't believe in Jesus, this is the place that we're going to go to, that we're going to be condemned for eternity. That seems like a really important thing, Shane. I would think that it was important enough that my church would actually talk about it, but I don't think I actually ever heard anybody actually say the word hell. And so he's asking me, are they telling me the truth? God, you know, and they say things, and he goes, yeah, and he goes, you know, and then I was talking, and I was feeling really bad one day, and I'm talking to one of the pastors at the church, and you know, he's talking about, you know, all these things that I need to do in my life, and I just talked about how much I struggle, and, you know, maybe I'm not as good a dad as I need to be, and not a good friend as I need to be, and not a good employee, and not, you know, I don't feel like I'm being really good. And then so, you know, it's just like I started to feel like I just need to really hear what's true. I want to know what's true. Can you just tell me what's true? And he said that the pastor just said, hey, you know what? You'll be okay. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. You're going to be fine. And he goes, so Shane, I just thought I would ask, is that good? I said, no, that's not good. The worst news in the world is that God knows your heart. The Bible says the human heart is deceitful above all things. Are we hearing what's true? Are we even hearing what's true when it comes to the church? So what happens is we start to panic. We are unrest. There's unrest in our spirit. I can't sleep at night. We don't know what to do. I don't have any idea. I don't know what's going to happen. Why is this not happening? My plans that I made in my life are going up in smoke. I can't figure out why. I can't breathe. And then people have the nerve to tell me to relax. Chaos, the turmoil, the storms, complete unrest in our hearts. What are we supposed to do? Sure, Duke University gave us some good pointers, but in reality, all of those things can't deal with the heart of the problem. All that is a band-aid, a bandage. It's telling us how to have peace while we hold on to worldly, sinful ideas And then we want to know what it is that we need to do, how I can be a good enough person to make sure I can sin as much as I want, but tell me just how much I have to do in order to get into heaven.
Amen.
Right? It seems like that's the ideology. How bad can I actually be and get away with it? You know, I get these bizarre things where people will ask sometimes, like, hey, Shane, can you just tell me, can you just level with me, what's the minimum that I need to do to make sure I get into heaven? Now, family, that's telling, isn't it? That's telling as to what's happening within us. And then when you got the word, you got the Bible, and you look and you read the Bible and you see all of those types of things, and then you say, well, you know what, Shane, you said that the Bible is supposed to bring me peace, but it doesn't give me any peace. Yeah, because the Bible is not going to help you be more sinful. So that's why a lot of these things don't help, because it's not dealing with the core of the issue. So how can we be at peace when at the very core we're feeding the sinful man? Only one thing, family, one thing can instantly put an end to it all. It is the very word of the living God. But it's amazing how even the church is helping the world to undermine this awesome and amazing gift from God. It's so bizarre these days. It's so interesting these days when you watch some of the conversations that happen. You know, when people are having a difficult time, when people are struggling in life, or families are having difficulty with their children, when families are having difficulty with each other, when spouses are having difficulty with each other, when people just can't get along, it's really bizarre. Now just you correct me if I'm wrong. But it's bizarre how the conversations kind of go like this. Well, I'm just having a really difficult time. I'm really having a hard time with a lot of these types of things. And the recommendation is always a book. Come on. Why is that? I got this book by, Bob Johnson or whatever it is. Oh, there's this book by this, and there's this book by this, there's this book by this, book by this person, book by that person. We're giving books to all these. People need help, and we're giving them books. This is a pet peeve of mine, so I don't know if you can hear the angst in me. Why are we not telling them to read the Bible? That's a book. I miss you guys. Why are we not telling people to read the Bible? People are like, Shane, you don't understand. My life is just going really bad. Hey, read the Bible. Read the Bible. I guarantee you, the author of the Bible knows what he's talking about. Here's the thing, family. If you can't find rest and peace in the scriptures, you're not going to find it at all. What we can't deny, what we have found over the centuries of practical theological studies, you cannot have peace in any other way. Christians have tried for centuries to place their trust in the Lord, but not in the Lord alone. Christians have tried for centuries to replace the scriptures, believing it to be archaic, irrelevant to the present times, and have placed their trust in the minds and methods of men. And what have we learned? That this will always produce a war with your neighbor and with yourself. Come on. When we walk away from the truth, I mean, some of you can give testimony of times where we just said, you know what, I'm mad at God, I'm just going to do my own thing. And every single one of you will come to me later and just say, you know what it was? It's just like there was something that was happening inside of me that was just going, it was just nagging at me. You don't know, you don't, this is not right, this is not, and I couldn't let it go. constantly at war. That's what happens. Take one step away from God, and already you're going to be at war with yourself. Already you are going to be at war with your neighbor. There is no peace without Christ. So much peace for those who love the word of the living God. Psalm 119, verses 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is the reality of peace as we trust in the word of God. Second, we're going to see how the word of God declares peace with God, and through Christ, there is now no condemnation.
Amen.
With Christ, no condemnation. Our thesis statement today is this. Again, my thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to live in war, chaos, and unrest, it is the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the scriptures that will cause us to receive not just peace, but a peace that transcends all understanding. And that was the thing that I experienced with Rosemary, just like Frank was talking about this morning. We went to go see Rosemary. There is this peace that she has. It's an amazing peace. Here she is dying, stage 4 cancer. It's there. The rate is pretty quick. It's just going really fast. And when I talk with her, she's just looking at me, smiling. Hi, Pastor. How are you doing? Oh, you're not feeling too good. Yeah. How are you feeling, though? Actually, I do feel okay. And she said these words to me. I feel okay. I feel at peace. And I'm not exactly sure why. Seriously, here she is. She is dying. Stage 4 cancer. I mean, you know, if you guys have ever experienced someone dying of cancer, you know, that's below average, man. And she was just at peace, smile on her face, talking to me about the church, talking to me about God, wondering, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? She's concerned about, you know, all the insulin that I'm having to take and my gallbladder and all that kind of stuff. And she's concerned about me. And I was just sitting there going, man, talk about peace that transcends all understanding. Can't explain why. She's just at peace. Family, this is something that we experience and can experience every day. What is in store for all of us who love the living God? Peace. What's in store for you if you love the word of the living God? Peace. And what a tremendous thing this is. One commentator writes, this peace is rightly judged to be the first foundation stone of a happy life. If you want a happy life, you got to be at peace. How can you be at peace if you don't love the word of the living God? See, here's the beauty of this. The world can't give us this peace. And since the world can't give us this peace, guess what? They can't take it away either. It's said that when we receive peace from God, it is one where you may be in great troubles without, yet enjoy great peace within. Matthew Henry writes, those that love the world have great vexation, for it does not answer their expectation. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we see? It seems like even the people who have so much in the world, it's not enough. They just can't be satisfied. You know, constant conversations that I have with people who have a lot. You know, believe it or not, I have a friend who actually is worth over $100 million. And I just like asking, I keep asking him, like, you're still really driven? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, is it ever going to end? He goes, I think so. I said, you have $100 million in the bank. Is that not enough? No. How would you like to be in that position where you have $100 million in the bank and it's not enough. If you're not okay, if you're not okay with that much money in the bank, you're not okay with 100 times that in the bank. Those that love God's word have great peace, for it outdoes their expectation. Do you see that? That's why I love this quote with Matthew Henry. He said, "Those who love the world have great vexation, for it does not answer their expectation. But those who love God's word have great peace because it outdoes their expectation." Calvin writes, "Rightly also does the prophet teach that we receive this peace from love of the law. For anyone who depends on anything else will tremble every time he feels the last breath of air." If you have sure footing and know and embrace and love the word of God, I guarantee you this, you will be at peace. You will be at rest. You will not tremble no matter who becomes the president of the United States. Amen. You're going to be okay. Because here's the thing. I understand worldly leaders, government, all of these kinds of things. It all affects life and all this stuff. But the one thing that the Word of God makes it very, very clear to me, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is alive and well, sitting at the right hand throne of the Father with all power in heaven and on earth given to him. Amen. You know what that means? That means when it comes to the world will have no power over us unless it's been given to it from above. Unless God lets you, you can't do nothing to me. But Shane, you say this, and I get it. Okay, I want peace. I want that. You get it. All this stuff. But how is it that the Bible is going to give us peace? Simply, just simply, it helps us to know and tells us where to go. That's what it does. Simple. It helps us to know and tells us where to go. Because there's two things in life that we just can't handle. Two things in life that we just can't live with. Two things that cause war with our neighbors and cause war with ourselves. We are at war because we just don't know. When we don't know, there's unrest. Even when it comes to things that are just like absolutely frivolous and doesn't matter in life, my daughters can't stand the fact that they don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, "Hey, Dad, what's for dinner?" Just something simple like that. "Hey, Dad, what's for dinner?" And I go, "Nunya." "Well, what's Nunya?" "Nunya business. Dad!" And they'll just stand there. "What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What is this thing about how we have unrest when we don't know?" You know, the group of people, they know, but you don't know. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Shane. You can tell iDocs, but you can't tell me? We're going to be fighting. What is it about not knowing? War, also, because we don't know where to go. Because we are lost, and we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. "Oh, Shane, I don't know about that. When I don't know what I can still have peace if I don't know where I'm going." Yeah, that's why you and your wife got into a fight last night, because you guys got lost trying to find that house. How many of you couples, got into a fight because somebody got lost? And you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. See, lies in the world, deceit in the world, deception, darkness, apprehension, lost, afraid, disillusion, all these things cause unrest in this world. It's the cause of major inner turmoil. It causes the waves of emotion to rage inside of us. We feel lost. We have no direction. We don't know what to do. So now we're panicking. Oh yeah, we're going to be fighting pretty soon. So what's the answer to not knowing and not knowing where we're going? It's the Bible that tells us what we need to know. And it's the Bible that tells us where we need to go. God never intended us for us to be ignorant when it comes to this stuff. He made it pretty clear. Nothing else in the world can do this. So why is it a surprise that there's no peace apart from the scriptures? So what's happened over the years, and this is really sad, what's happened over the years is that confidence in the scriptures have diminished in favor of what I'm calling autonomous ethical philosophies of men, where good and evil are now being defined by sinful speculation, sinful thought experiments, sinful methodologies, sinful books. Millions of these books are being sold. Millions of minutes on national TV. Millions of gigabytes on social media and podcasts. And none of them can make sense of anything. Did you notice that? You notice that? Like you know, every once in a while, I will do that. I'll watch the Discovery Channel. I'll watch the History Channel. Watch those channels. I'll watch PBS. And here it is, this guy who has 5 PhDs is talking about the creation of the universe. And I watched this thing for 30 minutes and it was done and I was just like, so in other words, you don't know. Isn't that how it comes out? Like, you don't know. We don't know. In the end, how can we know? We don't know because we don't know. And we're supposed to answer these questions? We're supposed to answer these questions that is influential within our lives? This is why we just don't know. This is why we just can't get to it. This is why we can't believe. And so what we've done, though, is we've set the scriptures aside so we can listen to this stuff. I mean, it's so bad now, family, that they're actually saying that, oh, well, you know, we can't answer the question of how the world came into being because we don't want to say God. So, you know, we did the evolution thing for a while. We did the revolution thing for a while. We did all these things for a while. Now they're just so desperate that PhDs are saying that how the world came into being, how life was created on Earth, is that an alien spaceship flew by. I know, but I kid you not, an alien spaceship flew by and the exhaust fumes interacted with our atmosphere and created seeds that planted life on Earth. Now, I'm sure this has changed a little bit. I'm just telling you this. Maybe this would have been about, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, eight years ago. Anyway, it's funny. Because I'm watching this, and then I say it at church. Now, at the church that I was at, so this would have, I would have been in Hawaii. So in Hawaii, I have University of Hawaii students. I have biology students. One of my students that was there was working on his PhD in biology. And it was, I kid you not, I said this thing. Everybody in the church is like, how can that be? People, come on, Shane, they're not saying that exhaust fumes from an alien ship is what caused life here on Earth. Do you know what he did that next Wednesday night? He came up to me and he brought up his biology textbook, the biology book that's teaching college students at the University of Hawaii. He opened up the page and he had me read the paragraph, and that's exactly what they said. Because in the end, they don't know. And they know that they don't know. And come on, you're listening to this and you're like, well, I guess that's how it is. But deep down inside, you're going, come on. You don't know. They can't bring, or they can't make sense of anything. And if they can't make sense of anything, then they can't bring value to anything. Nothing is valuable anymore. Why does anybody have to follow anything that's of value anymore? Remember I told you last week there was a commentator on TV that was talking to this millennial who was talking about the value of things and was talking about the definition of things? And he says, no, but there is one thing that we know for a fact, is that 2 + 2 = 4. And she said, no, 2 + 2 = 4 is racist. 2 + 2 = 5 is what we need to believe. I'm serious. Now listen, I know this sounds crazy, but listen to this. Listen to really what's happening here. Without God, how in the world are you supposed to make that matter to that girl? Seriously. If you want to believe that 2 + 2 = 5, what can I do to stop that? If I tell her 2 + 2 = 4, she's just going to look at me and be like, well, that's your opinion. I could even show her 2 + 2 = 4. Nah, I disagree. And on top of that, it's racist. Yeah, 2 + 2 = 4 is a racist coming from the oppressor camp, teaching us that 2 + 2 = 4, you are forcing your opinions, you are forcing your culture upon me. How is that supposed to matter without God? You can't make sense of anything. You can't bring value to anything. And you can't bring universal consensus to anything. How are we supposed to bring in universal consensus? The consensus has been so diminished and it has been so confused that when you go to a restaurant and you gotta go to the bathroom, you don't even know which one to use anymore. Right? I don't even know what to do anymore. It's like I'm standing there with my son, standing there with my daughter. Which one do we use? We don't even know. Well, is she a guy or a girl? I don't know. Are you a guy or a girl? Because this truth is not up to me anymore. It's up to them. How can we get anything done when we can't even find consensus on anything? Even to the point of something simple and natural called gender. So that's why I'm saying, I watch these things and I'm listening to these PhDs and they got like 12 PhDs. And I'm just like, you're telling me that science has shown that there is no God, but yet at the same time, you can't even tell me what a guy and what a girl is. For centuries, this has been the case, and we refuse for some reason to acknowledge the reality of this and now continue in the vein of the Enlightenment, which uses human methods of reason and experience to make decisions. Why can we not turn to the Bible? Why can't we go to the Bible anymore? That bizarre. Why don't we turn to the Bible? It's God's word. We just turn to the Bible. Well, Shane, we can't turn to the Bible. Well, why not? Well, because, come on, we all know it's dated. It's antiquated. It's old. It's stifling. It's hard. It's a taskmaster. It's irrelevant. It's unfair. And come on, it's too mean. God in the Bible is mean, Shane. You know, he's always talking about, well, you know, I'm a jealous God. So you see what I'm saying? He's a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. He's always talking about jealousy. He's always jealous of stuff. And I go, did it ever occur to you that maybe God is jealous because we are rebellious and adulterous? Is that a possibility? One of the main contributors, let me just share this thing really quick here. One of the main contributors, I think, as to why Christians are losing confidence in the Bible is because we don't know which parts of the Bible to believe anymore. And we do it all the time. Why is it that there's this current push right now? Okay, I'm setting you guys up, so be careful with the amens, okay? Setting you up. Just a warning. Why are we embarrassed with the Old Testament? What's this push? What is this? You know, oh, well, we're New Testament Christians. Well, why are we trying to disconnect ourselves from the Old Testament? Why are we embarrassed with the Old Testament? Shane, come on. You know, we don't, this is New Testament. This is, we're under, We're under grace now. You know, the God that we follow in the New Testament is so much nicer than the God of the Old Testament. Who told you that? Remember Jesus telling Bethsaida that it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you? Who told you that? But Shane, we don't follow the Old Testament anymore. The Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. Who said that? I'll tell you right now, not Jesus.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 19. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 19. Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth pass, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So this is the thing, family. The least Christians are going to be Christians of the 20th and 21st century. Are you a 21st century Christian? Yeah, you guys eat down there. 21st century, even worse. You're down there. Least in the kingdom of heaven. We don't teach in any way that the Old Testament is invalid in any way and not important to us anymore. We don't relax the importance of the Old Testament, not even one letter of it. Oh, watch this. The Apostle John had something to say about this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Essentially what he's saying is, if you love God, if you're saying, hey, I love God, okay, well, if you love God, you will keep his commandments. Question, was the New Testament even written then? So which testament was he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament, family. The New Testament wasn't compiled yet. It was being written at the time, but it hadn't been compiled yet. What testament is he talking about? He was talking about the Old Testament, and John said that it's not burdensome. So when people are just like, hey, you know, the Old Testament is so much burden. It's just so, this God's just such, he's so hard. It's all these rules, It's so burden. And he's saying what? Talking about the Old Testament, these commandments are not burdensome. This is the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saying this. The whole of Scripture, family, old and new, is not a problem for a Christian. Christians, we do not want to live as a law unto ourselves. My passion, your passion, is for us to do the will of God.
Amen.
We love and desire and rest in the truth of the breath of God. For many today, we are embarrassed of the Old Testament because it's not politically correct. It's not in line with cancel culture today. Keep playing that game. Christian, we are going to get in trouble if we play the game of trying to be a Christian and not getting canceled. Do you know what's going to happen? You may get canceled anyway. Number two, you may not get canceled by the culture, but now you're condemned by Christ. Good job. That was sarcasm, in case you didn't know. That's the point. The peace that comes from the word of the living God is a wonderful thing. Over the last couple of years, family, it's one of the most comforting things for me. It has been the law of God and his regulations for governing. Serious, family. Last couple of years, I find rest in that. Like if I'm having a hard time and I'm struggling, and I'm being transparent with you guys here, so don't tell anybody, okay? But I'm having a hard time, a hard day, I get done, put on my pajamas, I go into my bed, I curl up in a ball and sucking with them. And that's what I'm saying, don't tell anybody. And I turn on my phone, and this is what's really interesting, family. I pick either Exodus, Leviticus, or Deuteronomy. I press play, and a peace that transcends all understanding comes. Shane, for real? Deuteronomy? Exodus? Leviticus? All of that stuff? Family, politics, political methodologies are at an all-time high today. We got people saying stuff about policy and political rhetoric that I don't even know if they even know what the heck they're talking about. It's a constant, and especially on social media, it's a constant. A lot of people saying a lot of stuff. Who's telling the truth? Policies after policies given and saying it works, but does it? Who did this? Who did that? Whose fault is it? We don't even know whose fault it is. We don't even know who's responsible for it. We don't even know anymore. You know, like right now, I'm being transparent here. I'm not even sure who's responsible for the border. Yeah. Like, who's responsible for inflation? Who's responsible for any of this stuff? Anyway, and we see the policy work. And who did this? Whose fault is it? But here's the thing. When it comes to the scriptures, none of this matters. Because here I'm hearing the word from someone who knows what he's doing, telling me how things should be done. Oh, family, did you feel that? That's how I feel. The weight just fell off my shoulders. God knows what he's doing. And he's telling me what should be done. And I can rest in that. He tells me what to value, what not to value. He tells me what to know and what to ignore. Sure, some of the stuff that you get there doesn't seem plausible in our culture, but we trust it. Even if it seems wrong, I am telling you it's right. Penal sanctions. Ethics, right and wrong, values, family, things like slavery. Remember, we went through that stuff and we talked about slavery, how that's true justice. For those of you that haven't been here, go back and listen to that sermon. It'll make sense. Right? We talked about that. Here's somebody hits you with his car. This is what I'm saying. He has no insurance. He rear-ends you, destroys your car. Your car was upside down, so now you got to try to find some kind of company that's going to give you a loan that's going to cover you being upside down on this car that's completely totaled and give you enough money to get another car. You got to pay for all that. You got to pay for the premiums. You got to pay the taxes. You got to pay for all that stuff because this guy doesn't have no insurance. So you're paying it. What do they do to this guy? Nothing. Oh no, this is a first time offense, so maybe 30 hours of community service. Pay a fine. Who does he pay the fine to? The government? Everybody is taken care of except for the victim. This happened to Sabrina. Sabrina's going through this very issue. Sabrina, now wouldn't it be nice if the judge says, hey, this dude is going to be your servant for the next 300 hours. To do with whatever you want. Yeah, I'm going to put him on the phones and he's going to make some phone calls and he's going to make me some money. Now, again, what I'm telling you, hey, when it comes to slavery, you go out there, you crack somebody on the top of the head, you kidnap them, sell them as a slave. Yeah, you know what the Bible says is going to happen to you? You die. We don't human traffic. We don't do no human trafficking here when it comes to that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, man, justice. Yeah, you burned down my house. You gonna help me build another one? Things like abortion. Did you know that in the Bible it even tells us what to do with the border when it comes to the separation of family? Do you know the Bible even tells us what to do with that? Yeah, you'll read it in Ezra. They had to do that. Oh yeah, well, we don't want to separate the families. We don't want to do that type of stuff, you know, for this. We don't want to do any of that type of stuff. You don't have to. I know that this is hard for a lot of people to hear, but let me just say this. Let me just talk about what I'm talking about when it comes to culture, is how the culture and how the world affects us. Here's the thing. You got a family at the border. This one lady was screaming and saying, like, oh, well, this is unfair. My sister, my mom and my dad, you guys are separating us, you know, you're taking them away from me. And I'm just listening to her yelling and just saying all kinds of stuff like, you're gonna send them back and you're gonna separate them from me. Family, Now, this may be wrong. If this is wrong, forget it. But I was sitting there and I was listening to her talk, and I said, "You can go too." Is that just me? I mean, it was just like, you don't have to be separated. You can go. I don't know if that's just me.
Amen.
You don't have to be. What is it that we're doing though? You're making a stand, and you're saying what's more important. And because you can't get it your way, you're making everybody else try to help you make it that way. That's not what the scripture tells us to do. It's what the culture tells us to do. Don't tell me that 2 + 2 = 4. We rest in scripture. Scripture tells us so much. All we got to do is look. All you got to do is love. Trust it. Trust the Bible, family. Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, 68. You are good and do only good. So everything that we see happen when it comes to the scriptures. Like I said, if you're not sure, ask. That's what the elders are here for. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. Trust it. I guarantee you, if you give me a moment, I will show you how things, the regulations that God gives, is true justice and truly what's good for what God has called us to do. Come on, family. Nobody here at Central Baptist CBC, nobody. When you guys get to heaven, I don't want to hear that Jesus looked at you and said, "Why didn't you just listen to me?" Like, seriously, right? I'm going to go to heaven and just be like, "Man, you know, life was hard on earth, man. I don't know what you were doing." And Jesus is looking at you going, "Why didn't you just listen? I gave you my word. I gave you all of this stuff. Why didn't you just listen? Why don't we listen to God today? Why don't we just follow his word today? There's nowhere else you can go. Anything else comes from the invention and creation of man. And man has shown us one thing. We don't know. We don't take our cues from the world. We don't let culture be the authority as to how we understand the scriptures. We don't judge the biblical culture with our culture today. So we got to stop doing that. Oh, well, those laws that God gave was for that culture. It's not for our culture. And we stand here making judgments on that culture, thinking that our culture is the good one. Who said our culture was the good one? Promiscuous, immoral culture that we live in today. Can't decide what's right and wrong. Can't even decide what's a man and a woman. Can't even decide what to do when it comes to the simple things. And we are going to stand here in judgment of the biblical culture and say we know better? We're taking our cues from the world. If it's not scripture, it's arbitrary. There is only one non-arbitrary source for life and godliness. It's the Bible. The whole Bible. It's the word of God, the breath of the living God who holds everything together. We got to keep our noses in the word and stop listening to the ways and methods of the world. Take your noses out of the word of God, enjoy no peace in life. I mean, some people will say, "Well, I don't know the Bible very well." And then we wonder why we're living in unrest and always at war with ourselves and with each other. It's the declaration and majesty and the supremacy of God. What he says carries value. What he says is what's valued. The world can't do this. If he says that his word is more valuable than gold, silver, and rubies, then whether the world agrees or not, it's true. Whether we agree or not, it's true. His word is not the conjecture of the world of worldly wisdom. It doesn't come from the mind of man. It comes from God. Hey, family, follow me as I wrap up with this. When I'm asked by some to prove to them that the Bible is the Word of God. Say, hey, Shane, you need to prove to me that the Bible is the Word of God. You know what my initial response is now? Why? Listen very carefully. No way, tell you right now, no way am I going to subject the Word of the living God to anyone who believes that God needs to show and explain Himself to anyone. No way. Not anymore, man. No way. I am not subjecting this. Not subjecting Him. Because you are not asking me to do and prove something you already know is true. You're asking me to do this because you want to feel as if God, the living God in heaven, owes you something. And He owes us nothing. Like I said, the King of England is not going to be subjected to anyone that walk up to the King of England and go be like, I don't believe it. Show me your papers. I'm not going to believe that you are the King of England until you prove it to me. You think the King of England is going to go, oh, okay, let me get that for you. Off with his head, probably. If the King of England is going to do it, I'm not going to subject the King of Kings to it. Amen. You already know who He is. You already know it's the Word of God. Your denial is your rebellion. It's not that you don't believe, you won't believe. And that goes to the place of condemnation. And that's the real issue, isn't it? The rejection of Christ and our rejection of the Scriptures is because of our rebellion. Let's be honest, things in the Bible we don't like, we don't like it. It's not because of a standard, it's because of our sin. We don't like things in the Bible, it's not because it's a standard we don't like, it's the sin that it's condemning that we don't like. It's the story of the woman who was burned badly, and she spent the next several months getting rid of all mirrors and anything that would cast a reflection on her face in her house. She didn't want to see it. That's what the Bible is like for us, family. It's like a mirror. It's the truth of the Scriptures. It's the law of God that shows us what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It shows us that we've broken the Ten Commandments. It shows us that we're not being or doing what God requires. It shows us that we are doing what God forbids. It shows that we are all by nature enemies of God. It shows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It shows us that no one is righteous, no, not one. It shows us that there is no one on earth who always does good and never sins. It shows us that the wages of sin is death. It shows us that there is condemnation for those who have broken even the smallest of the commandments. It shows us that the wrath of God is being poured out. It shows us that the wrath of God is coming. It's real and it's going to be terrible. It shows us that it will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It shows us outer darkness, eternal fire, the place reserved for the devil and his angels. Oh, wait a minute, Shane. Didn't you just say at the beginning of the sermon that the Bible brings us peace? That doesn't sound like peace, my friend. Well, let me finish. Do you know what the Bible also tells us? It tells us that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It tells us that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It tells us that the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. It tells us that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. It tells us that He became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It tells us that by His wounds, we are healed. You know what else the Bible tells us? It tells us that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It tells us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you will have life in His name. It tells us to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peace, family, let me say it again, peace with God. Be at peace today, Christian. The Bible tells us that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. He is the Prince of Peace. And in Christ and Christ alone, there is peace that transcends all understanding today. Love the Lord, love his word today, and may the eternal love of God be revealed to you more and more every day in light of his precious word. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.